Today I'd like to talk about some features of the Bible that we can tend to overlook. Sometimes we understand or remember a particular passage so well that we can ignore the details of other parts of that same story. Or else we can just read over something, not understand what it really means, not even think about it, because we're familiar with the overall picture, the overall story. But of course, some of these details can be very interesting in themselves. Now, I'd like to explain that by looking at the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. That's 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. Now, this has an unusual verse in it. The passage overall relates to an interesting experience of Naaman, of Syria, whom God healed of leprosy. And we all remember that story, of course. Near the end of this passage, Naaman asked permission of Elisha to take home with him 2 mule loads of soil from Israel back to his home country of Syria. Now, personally, I have purchased soil to make an improvement in the vegetable and fruit growing garden that I have, and it's been very successful. But does this mean that Naaman wanted to take home soil from Israel because it was more fertile, because it would improve his gardening experience? Or was there some other more important reason for him wanting to take home some soil? So when we read through this particular part of this chapter, there are some very interesting things we can learn from it. Beginning in verse 1, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honourable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valour, but he was a leper. Now this is very unusual that God would help a Syrian commander in his battles, although what happened later explains why God would even do this. We are told that Naaman suffered from leprosy. Now we know that God had given Israel strict quarantine laws so that they would not spread the disease among the Israelites. But apparently in Syria it was not so strict. Now the disease of leprosy is moderately contagious and requires long-term close contact to spread. However, it is a horrendous disease that causes disfiguring sores and nerve damage, which may result in a lack of pain from wounds or burns. In other words, the sufferer may not realise he's being wounded. And without modern drugs, of course, it was totally incurable, unless God healed it. The disease may take between 2 and 20 years to be fully expressed, and for some time the sufferer would be deteriorating continually. So Naaman was still able to have a wife and be employed as a commander in the army, provided he limited those close contacts with everyone. In verse 2, we read, "And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife." This verse has the implication that God assisted the Syrian army under commander of Naaman in a battle against Israel. An alternative explanation could be that the Syrians captured this young girl from another country that had captured her from Israel, but most likely they had captured her from Israel themselves. Now back to verse 3. "Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" Now it seems that this maid was seeking good for her owner's husband, which shows she was probably being treated very well and had concern for Naaman's welfare. We read now in verse 4, "And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing." This shows that the king of Syria was used to giving orders to others, even to foreign kings, and expecting them to be obeyed. It also shows that he was willing to pay a great price for Naaman to be healed. This shows the value of Naaman to his king. From this we see that clothing was also of great value, as it would have all been handmade and probably very elaborate in those days. Getting back to verse 6, then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." Now, the king of Israel did not understand that the maid had told Naaman to seek the prophet, not the king. This was obviously not made clear, and the king of Israel thought that the king of Syria might have been seeking a reason to fight, stirring up trouble for him. Back to verse 8. So it was, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Continuing, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Something very simple for him to do. In verse 11 we read, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Now Naaman had the experience of giving orders and having them obeyed. Because he was an important commander of the Syrian army, he expected recognition according to that importance, not to be given instructions by a mere servant. He was used to ordering others who would order others under them. Naaman was greatly insulted by being given instructions or orders by a pure servant. To him, he thought that the servant was a nobody, and he was so important in his own eyes. In verse 12 we read, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. We see that Naaman wanted to be healed the way he specified, not the way God had ordained. This was a way to humble him. It was to show him that God determined how to perform a healing and took no account of the importance humanly of a person, no matter how highly he thought of himself. In verse 13 we read, "And the servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" So Naaman's servants were basically wiser than their master, and they quietened him, suggesting he follow the instructions of the servant of Elisha, especially doing something so simple as washing in the Jordan 7 times. So Naaman relented, and in verse 14 we read, "So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." In verse 15 we read, "And he returned to him, and returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" Of course, he was thankful to be healed, having an incurable disease, and wanted to pay for this healing. To have paid for it would have put Naaman back in control, and that he had done something to enable the healing, whereas in actual fact, it was a free gift from God. It will be noticed that in his request to make payment, he said, "There is no God in all the earth except in Israel." He did not say the God of Israel, but the God in Israel. This verse shows that he, at that time, the Gentiles believed that in each country, or even each individual state, they all had their own God or gods. This was a part of their culture. This was what they were brought up to believe. And this is shown in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20, verse 28. That's 1 Kings, chapter 20, verse 28. "Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, 'Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" We remember from verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5 that Naaman was a Syrian and was of the same culture as the Syrians mentioned in 1 Kings 20, 28. Now that means that they thought that God could only work in hills or in valleys, that he was not capable of working everywhere. In other words, they were limiting the Holy One of Israel, as we can read in one of the Psalms. In verse 16, Elisha said, "But he said, 'And the Lord, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." In verse 18, "Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." It appears from this verse that part of Naaman's responsibility was to assist his own master to worship, possibly due to some infirmity his master may have had. He needed support from his underling. Verse 19, "Then he said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a short distance." We note that Elisha did not correct or instruct Naaman in worship of the true God. So what conclusions can we take from this section of Scripture? First of all, in order to produce a certain outcome for his purpose, God helped the Syrian army be successful, even possibly in fighting against Israel. This, of course, is not the only time that God set up a situation for his purpose. As we read in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." In this case, a man was born blind so that Jesus could heal him and show the power of God. In another example, we can go back to Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. That's Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, where we read, "God raised up Pharaoh again for this purpose. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." Then an Israelite girl was taken captive, and she loved her master so that she wanted him to be healed, and explained how this could be accomplished. Next, the king of Syria basically gave an order to the king of Israel to arrange the healing of Naaman. Somehow the fact that the healing was to be performed by the prophet and not the king was omitted. When Naaman finally arrived at the house of Elisha, he was offended that he was only met by a servant and not the prophet himself. Until Naaman was humbled, he could not be healed. Even the fact that he could not pay for his healing was humbling. This also applies to us in that our healing was paid for by Christ, and we must seek healing the way God determines, not necessarily the way we would like. But to answer the original question of why did Naaman want to take 2 mule loads of soil back to Syria? It was because, as he said during the conversation with Elisha, he believed that the God who healed him only worked in Israel. Now, because of his upbringing and his culture, he did not understand that the true God could work anywhere in the world, anywhere he chose to. So to sacrifice only to the God of Israel, as he understood, he took back a part of Israel with him to Syria to enable God to accept his sacrifices. It was as if, together with the soil, he was enabling God to work in Syria. So it was not Elisha's role in this to instruct Naaman in his true religion, but the passage was given to us to add to our understanding of how God works.